ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अवघ्राया वृजौघसा किम् इदं कुत एवेति वदन्तो व्रजम् आययु। Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Brajabhumi in distant places were astonished. "Where is this fragrance coming from?" they asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. Te tatra varnitam gopai putana gamanadikam srutva tan nidanam svasti shishoscha san suvishmita. When the inhabitants of Braja had come from distant places, heard the whole story of how Putana had come and then been killed by Krishna, they were certainly astonished, and they offered their blessings to the child for his wonderful deed of killing Putana. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was very much obliged to Vasudeva, who had foreseen this incident and simply thanked him, thinking how wonderful Vasudeva was. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Venama. Krishna means that the personality of Godhead is all attractive. He is all auspicious. All auspicious indicates that all auspiciousness, all attractiveness are all contained within him. Therefore, whatever comes in contact with Krishna becomes auspicious and is attracted to him. For Krishna, there is neither good nor bad. Krishna is above the dualities of this world. He is completely transcendental in every respect. And here the evidence is given. Putana, by all material calculations, was a very bad person. Evil, envious, violent. She was a murderess. She had already killed large numbers of innocent baby children by feeding them her poison. We cannot even imagine somebody so evil within this society. If somebody murders one or two people, we consider this person is very bad. What to speak of somebody rapes women and murders them? We consider this is very bad. But imagine how evil Putana was. She approached hundreds, perhaps thousands, of innocent babies and ruthlessly killed them without even a second thought. If there was anyone in this world today, they would set the record the world record is the greatest, what do they call them, serial murderers. Is that what they call them in India too? Serial murderers? Where they just one after another? Jack the Ripper, the Boston Strangler. Ah, these people were just small-time neophyte murderers before Putana. Thousands. One after another, after another, after another. Unsuspecting. What to speak of the Indian government, they have their most wanted terrorists that they're trying to capture, apprehend, kill, somehow get them out of society. In the paper sometimes we read that some terrorist has been killed and he was responsible for 32 terrorist murders. Terrorism means just innocent people, unsuspecting, are just killed. Putana was the supreme, most terrible terrorist. Thousands, innocent, unsuspecting babies murdered by her. We cannot even imagine what a dark and black heart she had. Although she was a mystic yogi, she obviously must have performed the yogic process very, very severely to develop such powers. But the problem is, by performing these mystic processes, although acquiring great powers, they do not necessarily purify our heart. And therefore, the greater the opulence you have, the more dangerous you become if your heart is not pure, if your heart is envious. So Putana, she was very expert terrorist, and her great power was in her ability to deceive people by getting people's trust, by getting people's faith through her material ability to present herself in certain ways, and then to use the opportunity to terrorize, to murder. Such a terrible person. Such a wicked heart. And yet, when she came in contact with Krishna, who was all pure, pavitra, who was all auspicious, who was all attractive, simply by her coming in contact with Krishna, Krishna became purified. I mean, Putana became purified. And how she was purified is a wonderful, wonderful explanation. First, when she came in contact with Krishna, Krishna created a condition in her life where when he began to suck from her body, she could feel the very life air coming out. She was struck with fear. And then she was suffering terrible, terrible pain. And she was trying to resist by all means this process of purification. You see, when we come in contact with Krishna, the first thing that happens after we develop some little... First thing that happened when Putana saw Krishna, she was attracted to this child. She killed so many babies, but when she saw Krishna, she became very attracted. In fact, in her heart, she was thinking, this child is so attractive, must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, I have to try to murder whoever it is. This is my swadharma, to murder babies. This is my prescribed duty, given to me by the Rakshasas. So, First thing, she was attracted. And then she was purified. How was she purified? Because she approached Krishna, he started drawing all the poisons from her. The first step of Krishna consciousness is to become purified. I mean, to become a little attracted. The second, we take to the association of devotees, sincere devotees, and then we start sincerely chanting the holy name, which is non-different than Krishna. And then what happens is, the poisons within our heart, everything starts coming out. And oh my God, how painful that is. It's a terrible condition of suffering. But it is part of purification. And after all the poison came out, she died. She lost her identity. This is also what happens to all of us. After all the poisons come out, the finest grain of poison within our heart is ahankar, false ego, this misconception of our identity, that I am this body, I am the enjoyer, all things relationship to this body are mine. Janasya moho yamahamma meti. The great acharyas tell us, die to live. Until you learn to die in this life, you cannot learn what is spiritual happiness. That means our false ego must die. And that is the most painful thing. All the poisons come out. That means all our lust, all our envy, all our anger, all our greed, all our pride, all our illusions, they're all stored in our heart. Just so deeply stored in our mind. They all start just pouring out. Gradually, they start pouring out as we become purified by Krishna's association. And all these poisons coming out. Also, Kaliya. Kaliya was very much similar to Putana. Krishna started dancing on his heads. And what was the first thing that happened? All his poison started coming out. He was just vomiting. All ugly black poisons were just being spit everywhere. It was a terrible sight to see. First from his mouth were burning flames, which were brilliant like the sun. He was such an opulent demon, Kaliya. And then those burning flames got less and less and less until they were extinguished. And then what was left? Just poison, black, terrible poison, just vomiting. Terrible, you can imagine the terrible smell there must have been where he was just vomiting and vomiting with hundreds of heads all at the same time, vomiting poison. And it was terribly painful for him. Krishna was very gracefully dancing, but every time Krishna's lotus foot touched him, it felt like a thunderbolt crushing into his head, breaking his skull. This is the process of purification. Putana went through the same type of purification. And every devotee, to some extent, has to go through the same type of purification. Whether Krishna's sucking our breasts or dancing on our heads, somehow or other, Krishna, if we come in genuine contact with him, real contact with him, through the grace of Guru and the Vaishnavas chanting his name, then he will dance on your head, he will suck out all the poison. The poison starts coming out. It's an ugly matter to see what we really are inside, to see who we are really inside. It's a painful situation. But a devotee has to have faith, has to trust that the fact that this is happening means that the process works. We should not think, oh, I am becoming more impure. We should think, oh, I'm becoming purified. I'm already impure. There's no question of becoming more impure. It's just a question of We have no idea the extent we are impure until we start becoming purified. But the last stage is the death of our ego, our false ego. After everything else is cleansed from our heart, anartha nivritti, at that time, the last powerful blow of purification is Krishna just smashes to death our false ego. Putana, she was screaming for her life. She understood that everything was about to be finished. And then she died. But did she really die? At the time of Putana's death, she attained life. All of her illusion was finally finished, killed. She thought, I am this body. I love to drink the blood of children. I love to kill. I love to cause sorrow in the hearts of others. I love to see how people are so much completely controlled by my prowess. She was very egoistic in this way. That ego was all she knew as in regard to her whole life. So when Krishna killed that ego, killed that false sense of identity, at that time, she was liberated, and her soul, it is explained in a previous birth verse, her soul attained the position of Mother Yashoda's confidential assistant in the role of a nurse in the spiritual world of Vrindavan. She became Krishna's mother, Satchidananda. She attained her eternal form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So did she die? In her death, she was given eternal life. Because through the purification, her false ego, all her desire to lord it over material existence, died. At the time of that death, she was born into eternal life. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Die to live. Until we are willing to put ourselves at the disposal of Krishna and his representatives, and we are willing to let him kill us, kill our false conceptions, kill our false ego, we cannot learn what is real life. Real life means spiritual life. Real life means our eternal relationship with Krishna. So did Krishna kill Putana? No. He granted her eternal life in the spiritual world. He simply killed her false ego. He killed that identity, the thought she was Putana. And in the process, he awakened from the core of her heart, where the soul resides, the understanding and the realization that she was really Krishna's loving servant. How was she Krishna's loving servant? By being the servant of her servant, the assistant of Mother Yashoda. It's a nurse, Golok Vrindavan. And her body, as it was being burnt, this terrible looking, ugly body that I believe it was 12 miles long. Can you imagine a body 12 miles long? If she fell dead in Bombay, just to drive from one end to the other in the type of traffic would probably take 12 miles, probably an hour and a half, just to drive from her head to her feet. Huh? You can imagine how big she was. And terrible, it describes what an ugly form she had. And the cowherd men, they were, what, how could we live in Vrindavan with such a gigantic, enormous form? It was taking up so much of the pasture lands where the cows should eat the grasses. So they had to do something with her. So they started chopping her up and putting her on fire. And as they were burning her, such a miraculous experience took place. The fragrance coming from her body was like nectar. It was sweet. It was like the most ambrosial incense. Why is that? Because she had been touched by Krishna. Because she had been cleansed completely by Krishna. That even the body she left behind was completely purified by connection to Krishna. So this is the faith the devotees have. Krishna is like the sun. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahanai Mayar Adhikar. It is described in Shastra that the sun is so purifying that whatever it touches through its energy, the sunshine, becomes purified, but the sun never becomes contaminated. Just like stool, according to the Shastra, when it is new and fresh, it's very contaminating, my God, terribly contaminating. But if it's left to be in the sun purifies it. The sun takes away all the bad odors. The sun takes away all the qualities of messiness in it. And actually, after roasting in the sun for some time, it's actually nice. Nobody minds it. If you step on someone's stool that has been sitting in the sun for a week, nobody cares. But if you step on it before it sits in the sun for a week, you become very disturbed. You feel very contaminated. And ultimately, the sun will make it disappear altogether. Even the most contaminated thing, just finish, disappear. So in this way, the sun purifies whatever it comes in contact with, but the sun is never contaminated by whatever it comes in contact with. It simply purifies, causelessly, profusely, everything. So Krishna is like that. Krishna can never be contaminated, but anything that comes simply in contact with Krishna becomes purified. So therefore, what is the path of bhakti? It is to always remain in contact with Krishna, to always remain in the association of those things which are dear to Krishna. Even demons, Kamsa, Shishupal, they were purified simply because of their connection to Krishna in envy, fear, and hate. Of course, it was a terribly painful process of purification. Their whole life they were in misery, worrying about Krishna killing them. They were in mental distress, ultimately physically terribly in distress. But still, they were purified. Even they connected to him unfavorably. What to speak of a devotee who approaches Krishna with a desire to serve him and to love him? How much anxious Krishna is to purify such a devotee. So by chanting the holy names sincerely, by associating with devotees sincerely, we could learn to always remember Krishna with a sincere devotional attitude, with a service attitude. And this meditation, this remembrance, this connection will purify us, whatever our situation of life is. It may take time, and we may, according to Krishna's will, we may have to go through a process of all poisons coming out. We may have to experience the deadly blow of our ego being killed. It may go through that process. That is Krishna's arrangement. But we should have faith that it is all purification. A devotee's only concern should be, am I properly following Guru Maharaj's instruction? If I am sincerely trying my best, then I don't have to think or worry about anything else. Krishna will take care of the rest. Whether I'm feeling polluted, whether I'm feeling ecstatic, these things will always change like the seasons. Whether I'm being adored and appreciated or whether I'm being misunderstood, all these things are always changing. We should not be so concerned with these things. If we know as a fact that we are sincerely and honestly trying our best to serve the order of Guru, then we're becoming purified. How we're becoming purified? You may understand or may not. You don't even have to try. Just remain in that connection. Remain in that contact. And you will become completely purified. That is Krishna's guarantee. Because the spiritual master is teaching us how to properly always think of Krishna. Krishna says, always think of me. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. To always think of Krishna is the supreme process of purification. If we are simply learning in a humble spirit, hari prashnena sevaya, how to always think of Krishna, then whether it takes 100 years, whether it takes 100 days, whether it takes 100 minutes or 100 seconds. That is Krishna's desire, accordingly. We simply have to know we are rightly situated. Srila Prabhupada was always very much concerned, not with what type of tests the devotees were going through, but that they just always remain rightly situated. Because he knew if they simply remain rightly situated, they're going to go back to Godhood. Complete faith we must have in this. Through that association of Krishna, even the most wicked and black becomes purified. In one sense, we are all like little putanas. We are all in the guise of devotees, wearing tilak and kanti mala and dhotis, all these other forms of devotional paraphernalia we are identifying ourselves with. But still, that element of putana is still in our heart, to deceive, to exploit. That poison. But if we simply remain striving to just simply be humble instruments in the hands of Guru and the Parampara, then that will put us directly in connection to Krishna. And then all these poisons, they will be removed, anartha nivrittishyat. And ultimately, our false ego will die. And then, real life, life of pure devotional service, ecstatic love, awakens within our hearts. So if we understand the process very carefully, then we will not be bewildered. We will not misunderstand what is taking place. And that is why it is very important that we must tread the path of Krishna consciousness under very, very careful guidance of mature and wise devotees who could help us to understand what is happening, why, only to keep us serious and committed to the path of bhakti through the transformations that may take place in our life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And today, even people, when they think of Putana, they think of the most terrible, gross witch. But the soul that was in Putana's body, that's in Goloka Vrindavan, she knows that in this world she has a terrible reputation. 5,000 years later, we're still repulsed by the activities of this witch. But she doesn't care. She's with Krishna. Let the people of this world misunderstand me any way they want, but Krishna likes me. And all the residents of Vrindavan like me. They don't care what type of witch I was. The people in the material world, the demons, want to become like Putana. And the neophyte devotees, they think she was a terrible person. Her reputation is eternally bad. But she doesn't care anything about her reputation. She's only concerned with one thing. Krishna likes what I'm doing. I'm pleasing Krishna. This is all that matters. Huh? And if my reputation in this world, being a terrible Khetri demon witch, if it helps devotees to understand how to come to the loving service of the Lord, then let them all remember me in this way. I was saying that Krishna is the sun, and he's always wanting to illuminate the glories of his devotees. So in this picture, this is a very nice, how the sun is spotlighting the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Can you see? This is extraordinary. Is there any questions? Yes.
This is the question related to two days before which you gave the class in Krishna. Krishna is related to the false guru. Now, this thing which I cannot understand, when Krishna is represented by a false guru, then the end result of Krishna, that is, when she left her body, she was liberated, she went back to God. That is, on the other hand, those people who are Mayavadis,
Not like that. There are different examples that you must separate. She represented something that must be killed in a spiritual sense. In other words, our attachments. These demons all represent attachments, which are obstacles in our spiritual life, which must be discarded, must be removed, must be purified, must be killed. Now, all of these attachments, if we give them up and surrender them to Krishna, he will kill them. But it doesn't mean that all... Kaliya represented envy. It doesn't mean that all envious people are going back to Godhead. Putana represents a false guru. Doesn't mean all false gurus are going back to Godhead. What it means is that we must understand that all of these elements are demoniac, and they're obstacles in our spiritual life, and we must detach ourselves from them. We must let Krishna kill these attachments to these things within our own heart. It's not the form. If you read the commentaries of the acharyas, every demon has a specific type of fruit. People who are too much attached to fruit of work, like Denukasura, he was attached to eating the fruits, right? Doesn't mean every fruit of work is going to go back to Godhead because Krishna killed Denukasura. It's the attachment for these things in the heart of the devotee that must be killed. And when they are all killed, these obstacles within our heart, then that devotee goes back to Godhead. Do you understand? Yes. Because Krishna, after extracting the poison, all that's left is whatever good was there. Other demons did not have any type of service attitude to offer anything to Krishna. They simply came to kill. So because there was nothing positive in their consciousness, when all the negative was destroyed, they were liberated. So they went back to the Brahma Jyoti. But Putana, she actually came in the spirit of a mother and actually offered some milk. Huh? She was different than other demons. There was something positive mixed with her demoniac spirit. So after all the negative was killed, Krishna just saw the positive. Okay, now she's completely purified, but the fact is, she held me like a mother, affectionately. Now that all the impurities are there, she held me like a mother. She gave me her milk. So she offered that service. So Krishna saw the good in her. Saw the positive service that was offered. Shishupal never did anything positive for Krishna. He simply insulted him. So he went to the Brahma Jyoti. Agasura, he simply wanted to devour Krishna. So after all these demons were purified by contact with Krishna, they were all liberated. But there was nothing positive in their consciousness ever. They never came in any way to serve the Lord. But Putana, as demoniac as she was, she came to serve the Lord as a mother. Krishna just saw, this is wonderful. She's coming to serve me as a mother. Let me purify her of everything else and let her be my mother. Huh? So she was a special demon.
Yes.
In other words, the entering was Krishna's way of showing the symbolization that he merged into the body of the Lord. Now the whole Brahma Jyoti is the spiritual rays of the body of the Lord. To merge into the Brahma Jyoti is to merge into God. That means to merge into the Lord. That means mukti, that means the Brahma Jyoti. I will have to do research in this regard. Mukti means to merge into the body, but that generally that's understood to symbolize the Brahma Jyoti. Agasura also merged into the body. But does that mean he has become God? This is what the impersonalists understand. If you merge into the body, that means we become Krishna. The Brahma Jyoti is the body of God. Everything is the body of God. So we understand this to be an impersonal sense of liberation. Because these demons never rendered personal service to the Lord, they only achieved an impersonal form of liberation. In the Brahma Jyoti, the Jivatma remains like a ray of light in the sunshine. The Jivatma is Tatastha Shakti. Remains, the Brahma Jyoti is a marginal position. It is pure spiritual. It is the pure spiritual sky. But it is marginal in the sense that it is neither material world where there is activity, loving exchange, nor spiritual world where there is loving exchange. So the Brahma Jyoti is also sometimes called the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy of the Lord. So the jiva soul is remaining in there where he's in a neutral marginal condition. In pure spiritual consciousness, but not yet developed into the consciousness of the loving servant of the Lord. So therefore, in that marginal condition, the spirit soul cannot remain forever. The spirit soul must either go to the constitutional position, Jivara Swarupoi, Krishnara Nityadas, or the Jivatma must again enter into the material world to look for that Ananda Shakti, to look for that pleasure, that bliss, which is not found in the Brahma Jyoti. It's found in loving exchange. So therefore, in that condition, if a soul is coming from the material world and enters into the Brahma Jyoti and knows nothing of the transcendental loving service of the Lord, when that thirst and hunger for love again awakens, the spirit soul, which it will, inevitably, whether it's in one day or in millions of years, then the spirit soul will fall down again to come to try to find enjoyment in this material world. Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata. Bhagavatam explains that even attaining liberation in Brahmajyoti, if one does not taste the sweetness of loving devotional service, one inevitably must fall down again into this material world to search for that in a perverted way. Depends on what they do in their life. Generally, they will not go back to God.